Let's open in a word of prayer before we read the word. Our gracious God and Father, again, we're thankful to be together today. We're thankful, Father, that we can come freely in this country, Father, that was fought so hard for our independence, so hard to keep our freedom. Many men and women have shed their blood. Father, we realize that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son to shed his blood so that we can have freedom from sin and hell and death, and that we can have everlasting life in Christ. I pray, Father, as we look at these scriptures this morning, that you would make that clear to us. Help us, Father, to be able to serve you better because we've been in your word today. I pray that your Spirit would be our teacher today. Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of your word. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We're in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The Bible says, I am the true vine. This was Jesus talking to his disciples, his followers. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out like a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. I command you that you love one another. I had an uncle that lived right down over the hill down on Lincoln Avenue. And he had a green thumb. His garden, you had to have a microscope to be able to find a weed. He just really enjoyed gardening. But one knack he had that I don't know anybody else. I've never seen anybody else do this, but he had apple trees in his yard. And he would take branches from other apple trees and he would graft them into these trees. And they would grow and produce apple. You might look at one of his trees, it might have yellow ones, red ones, you know. There was a variety of apples on the same tree. Why? Because he grafted them into the tree and they gained nourishment from the tree and produced fruit. It was a real knack. So the first thing that I would ask as we read these scriptures is, are you grafted into the vine? Are you grafted into the vine? Well, how do I get into the vine? Jesus said in the previous chapter, 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the only way to get into the vine, into the Lord Jesus Christ, is through him, through faith in him. The Bible says, by grace we're saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So it's through faith. It's nothing that you can do. You can't graft yourself into the vine. What did Jesus say here to his disciples? You didn't choose me. I chose you. If you're sitting here today and you've never been grafted into the vine, maybe God is calling you today to put your faith that he'll give you and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in his finished work on the cross. He said, I'm the way. Well, how's he the way? The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means that God loved you so much, he gave his very best, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could receive him as your Savior. The Bible says that he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And it's not by flesh, it's not by the will of man, but you're born of God. God will born you into his family if you simply do away with yourself and put your trust in Christ and what he's done on your behalf. What did he do? He came to this world. Even though he with God, he was God, he was willing to come to this world to be born as a baby. Can you imagine that? God, born as a baby, grew up. He felt all the pains of this world. You talk about being bullied. How much was Christ bullied? And he never did anything to deserve it. All he was good. And then he was nailed to a cross for you and for me. He took our punishment that we deserve. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages, the payment for our sin is death. But God, the good news is that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ. That death that it's talking about there isn't just dying, physical death. It's a eternal separation from God. It is an everlasting death, always separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's life with Christ forever, eternally. And that's God's promise to you if you will simply receive the gift of his Son that he's offered to us. So number one that I would want you to consider today is, are you grafted into the vine? Have you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? No one here can do that for you. It's something that is personal. It's something that you must receive. And it's God's gift of grace to each one of us. Now it talks about in verse 2 there, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? Takes away. Now notice there it says, every branch in me. There's branches that bear no fruit, but there's branches that are in him. So I'm looking at that. If that branch is in Christ, he is somebody that's saved. Says the Bible, it says there that God takes him away. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the last, or the sacrament of communion, and it talks about how that we are to examine ourselves and we're to confess our sin before God. And the Bible says that people that refuse or fail to examine themselves, what does God do? He says, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, that's talking about physical death there. So these branches that are in Christ and that bear no fruit, God takes them away. God takes them out. But it says here that there are branches in here that bear some fruit. Okay, and he says, and every branch that bears some fruit, he what? He prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. More fruit. So, did you ever get in a bad situation and you say, I just don't understand why God's doing this to me. I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, case might be that you are bearing some fruit. You say, I'm living for the Lord. I believe I'm doing what God wants me to do. When God sees that, it's your privilege to be pruned by God. And that may be painful, but it's something that God does in order for you to what? Bear more fruit. Bear more fruit. So look, let's look over in James, just over in James chapter 1. If you would go there this morning, James chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. It says there, my brethren, that's believers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Aren't trials fun? Aren't they joyful? You know, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God prunes you. He puts you through various trials so that you may bear more fruit. These are fruits here that he's talking about, that it produces what? It produces patience. Aren't you glad you have trials in your life to produce patience? If you turn over to Hebrews while we're there, just turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 7, it says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So what's that saying? If you are without chastening, if God is not pruning you, then you better question whether or not you are a son or daughter of Christ, of God. But if you are without, okay, it says there, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to you, to the Father of spirits, and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. There's another fruit. Holiness. God prunes us. He chastens us. He gives us trials into our lives so that we can trust in him, and so that we can become more like him, more Christ-like in our living, and then that we can be holy as he is holy. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Aren't you glad when you got a licking when you were a kid? I was telling a story the other day. My dad used to threaten to give us a licking before we got in the car to go anywhere. He said, that way I won't have to stop along the way and do it. No, he was old school, you know. That probably wouldn't go over real big today. But anyway, chastening doesn't seem pleasant or joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by this. So look, what does it do? Chastening produces what? Fruit. You see? More fruit. More fruit. All right. Let's look one more time back in Romans chapter 5, if we could. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look beginning at verse 1 in that chapter. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another fruit, peace. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace which we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Do you glory in tribulations? Are you happy when you're going through tribulations? Knowing that tribulation, what produces? Perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's three things that trials produce. Okay? There's perseverance, there's character, there's hope. I think all of us would like to have more of those three things. They're fruits. They're fruits. Branches that abide in the vine draw from the vine the spiritual nutrients that they need to live the abundant life full of joy and love, producing, as it says there, much fruit. So if we abide in the vine, we are able to produce much fruit. What is this fruit? What is this fruit that he's talking about here? I believe it's threefold. Threefold fruit, okay? Number one, we looked at it in Hebrews. It talks about the fruit of righteousness. What's righteousness? That's obedience to God. You abide in Christ, you're grafted into the vine, you're abiding there, you're in the Word, you're in prayer, you're in fellowship, you're staying there in the vine, and what does he produce? He produces righteousness, obedience, a desire to be Christ-like, a desire to obey his Word, and obey what he wants for us to do. Love, it says John chapter 15, where we started, it says in verse 11 there, what's it say? I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 11, it says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Don't you want the joy of Christ to remain in you? And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than for a man to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what Christ was about to do. Love produces righteousness. If you love someone, you're not going to steal from them, are you? If you love somebody, you're not going to lie to them. If you love somebody, you're not going to hurt them purposely. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal their wife or their husband. I mean, these are fruits of righteousness. Christ talked about this back in the Beatitudes. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. Sometime the next or an opportunity I get to preach, I'd like to preach a message on the Beatitudes. But in Matthew chapter 5, he talks to his disciples, and he said, he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This is all righteous things. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for" what? Righteousness. Righteousness. We need, as believers, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to His moving by His Holy Spirit in our lives to do what pleases Him. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers," those that can settle peace. Are you a peacemaker, or are you a struggle maker? Okay, a peacemaker. "And blessed are those who are persecuted for" what? "Righteousness' sake." You see, one fruit that he's talking about here is righteousness. The second fruit, kind of fruit, I believe, is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. If you turn over to Galatians in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, we see there in verses 22 and 23 the fruits of the Spirit named out. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So it lists there the fruits of the Spirit. The greatest fruit of the Spirit is listed first there. Love. Love. How many times in the Word of God are we commanded to love one another as God, as Christ has loved us? He said, this is how you'll know that you're my disciples. How do other people know that you're a disciple, a follower of Christ, except you love them and you show the love of Christ to them? Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the great love chapter. And he says that's the most. He says, you know, you can be anything else, but if you don't have love, you're like a clanging cymbal. It doesn't mean anything without love. And so the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the power that moves us to respond to someone's needs with no expectation of reward. The missionaries have landed in JFK, and they are, I'm sure, going through customs or whatever. They have landed, so they are on their way back, and they had a safe flight back to New York City. But if they went over there thinking that there was going to be some reward for what they did over there, their showing of love and helping these people, that's not love. Love is doing things without expecting anything in return. Now, God often blesses for your love that you have for one another. But when you show an act of kindness towards somebody without thinking that you're going to get something in return, it's what, like washing feet. Remember when Jesus talked about his disciples washing feet? Okay, that was the lowest thing that a servant could possibly do. And Jesus wrapped a towel around himself. He went and he washed his disciples' feet. And he says, as you've seen me do, so go and do one to another. Serve. Allow yourself. Sacrifice yourself. Lay down your life to serve someone else. That's love. The second thing, and it mentions that in the scripture we read back here in John chapter 15, the other thing is joy. What's joy? An inward hope. It's a fullness, an excitement in spite of outside circumstances. Joy differs in happiness. It differs from happiness. Happiness relies on favorable circumstances, you know. Something good happens in your life and that makes you happy, okay? The circumstance makes you happy, okay? But joy is an excitement and looking forward, an upward looking, as what we studied in Sunday school this morning, looking for Christ, knowing that we're going to be with Him for all eternity, that no matter what happens in this world, we are going to be with Christ. Joy. Joy. Seeing the end in spite of all you're going through. Now, remember in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Christ endured the cross, what? Despising the shame, for why? For the joy that was set before Him. What did He see? What did Christ see when He was up there getting spit upon, beaten with whips, nailed to a cross, crown of thorns on His head? What was He looking at? How could He be joyful in all? He says the joy that was set before Him. You know why? Because he saw those that would come to Christ, that those that would be reconciled to God through Him in the days to come. He could see it. He could see the church. He could see the body of Christ being formed. He knew the end was coming. He knew that He was going to have victory over sin, over death, and that He would rise again. So he could have joy in that. Can we have joy in what Christ has done for us? Can we fathom what it's going to be like to be with Christ forever? Peace is a supernatural calm, a supernatural calm amid chaos, the ability to bring harmony to divided factions. Are you a peacemaker, as Christ described there in Matthew? Just over a chapter in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. It's the opposite of short. It's a long temper, okay? A long temper. It's the opposite of short-tempered. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about the difference. Long-suffering, the quiet willingness to accept irritating or painful situations. Are we willing to accept irritating? Do things get under your skin? Are you quick-tempered, or are you long-suffering? Christ is long-suffering, and He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but He's long-suffering, willing that all should come to eternal life. Over in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12 there, Colossians 3:12, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Do you ever sit and think what Christ has forgiven you? Do you ever think what Where would you be without God's forgiveness? Christ taught his disciples to pray. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who what? Trespass. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's long suffering. That's long suffering. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're to forgive, we're to be kind, even as God has showed kindness and forgiveness to us. Goodness. Goodness is moral excellence, Christ-likeness. He went about doing good, didn't he? Christ. He was good. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness, enduring, loyalty, and trustworthiness. Can God count on you? Can He count on you? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful to Him? Can He count on you? Can He count on you? As Brother Aaron was sharing the ministries that are needed in the church and help with those ministries, can He count on you? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful? Gentleness. Gentleness, that's the power to control your reactions to difficult people in situations. That's gentleness. Over in Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. It says there, beginning at verse 1, Titus 3:1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable and what? Gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Okay? Gentleness. The ability to restrain our self-control. The last one here is self-control. What's self-control? Self-control is the ability to restrain the inappropriate passions or appetites. The ability to bring the flesh under control. Well, how do you do that? Well, we talked about that the last time I preached. It was about feeding the inner man, okay? Praying for the inner man, praying for inner strength, so that the Spirit will show forth through you, not the flesh. The flesh will always lead you in the wrong direction. Self-control. Self-control. All these things are fruits and are present, or they're a product of resulting from what? Abiding in the vine. If we abide in the vine, we will show forth these fruits that he's talking about here in Galatians. The third thing for fruits, God's these fruits that are produced in Christians, in believers, are souls, fruits of souls, one for Christ. That's what it's talking about there in John chapter 15 when it talks about fruits that remain, okay? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain in verse 16. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Fruits of souls, one for Christ. We are, as God told Adam and Eve, he tells us as believers, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Go out, show forth the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness, and multiply by sharing the gospel with those that you work with, those that you're in contact with each and every day. Be fruitful and multiply. I'm going to close today by looking at one more scripture in Matthew. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7 in closing, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and starting at verse 17. Matthew 7 starting at verse 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches." Now, is that a bad tree or a good tree? It's a good tree, isn't it? It's a good tree. He's saying, if you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. I'll prune you and you'll bear more fruit. And eventually, if you continue to abide in me, in Christ, you'll bear much fruit. Don't you want to be a great fruit bearer? Don't you want to bear much fruit? Keep on feeding the Spirit. Keep on feeding on the Word of God. Keep on praying. Keep on living for the Lord and bear much fruit. Much fruit. That should be our goal as believers. He said the branch that doesn't bear fruit. Now notice when he talks about the branch that doesn't bear fruit, back in John chapter 15, it says, in verse 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." What would happen if I take a branch from an apple tree and I just go over and I just place it between other branches and don't graft it into the tree? What happens there? For a while, it's going to look like one of the other branches, isn't it? For a while, it's going to look like a branch. But eventually, it withers and dies. It's cast into the fire. That's talking about something serious there. That's what happens when somebody is not in the vine. It's what happens when someone has not received the gift of grace that God provides in Christ. They're taken, they're cut off, they're thrown into the fire. Which do you want to be? A branch that bears much fruit, or a branch that bears a little bit of fruit, or a branch that bears a little more? I want to be a branch that bears much. I hope each and every one of you believers would want the same. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, again, we thank you today for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to bear much fruit. Help us to draw closer to you as we sang the chorus this morning. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Help me, Father, to abide in you and to bear much fruit of righteousness, fruits of the Spirit, fruits of lost souls won to you through the gospel. I pray, Father, that that would be our desire as believers in Jesus' name. Amen.